Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coffee Time at the Water's Edge. We have Dr. Stephen Roby. I'm Rodney. And today we have a special guest, Jeff Birch, who is a U.S. Navy chaplain. And today we are going to be discussing life as military chaplains. So let's go ahead and pour that coffee and dive into the conversation. Steve, what is the coffee that we're drinking?
I got you. All right. This is roasted by one of our very own. So yeah. Sasha Dresden, her husband, Bob, roasts his own coffee in the garage. And this is one of his roasts. It's from Indonesia. Bali Kintamani is the name of the bean. This Bali or Kintamani is a district or a village within Bali in Indonesia. And it has cupping notes or lots of body. Very high acidity. That's up my alley.
Yep.
With notes of strawberry, watermelon, papaya, and cane sugar, giving it a very sweet taste.
All right.
And just in case it wasn't sweet enough, Jeff adds a little extra flavor.
I feel like I have a confession to make. I'm one of those guys who heavily doctors their coffee.
He thought I was going to let him get away with it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. How many creamers and drink? No, never mind. You don't have to go that far.
Too many to count.
Cheers, right. Mates.
Cheers. I like that. I really do.
Yeah, Bob. I like it.
I thought it was going to have more of a dark flavor than it does. Mm.
That's well, good. It's got the fruitiness to it. Yeah. So you can pick that up.
Very, very sweet.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Jeff is drinking his chocolate milk over there. So.
Shout out to Bob Dresden.
Absolutely. That is good coffee. So we are going to be talking about the chaplaincy today. We have Navy chaplain and an Army chaplain, which I think is great to have this combination. Gentlemen, I'm going to start this off with a basic question, and that is, what are your guys' primary duties as a chaplain?
Yeah, the Army outlines that. I'm sure the Navy is very similar. We kind of use the terms perform and provide. It's the First Amendment of the Constitution that says, that guarantees the right of free expression of religion to all citizens of the United States. And that's true for soldiers as well. And so in the Army, particularly if we're in an austere environment, soldiers cannot genuinely usually express their faith. So you have chaplains in the field with them doing field services, et cetera, to allow them to share their faith and to express their religion.
Yeah,
very similar. Provide, so we provide for similar faith groups, facilitate for other faith groups. Right. So I'm not leading, Catholic mass,
Right.
But we get other chaplains who can provide that kind of care so that everybody, is cared for, caring for everybody. And so for us, one of the ways we do that is through our counseling, providing counseling services. And, one of the things that we try to help people understand is, we care for everybody, whether they consider themselves to be particularly religious or not, So caring for them, 100% confidentiality is a big thing for the Navy chaplains, and then advising our commands, on moral, ethical issues, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and on how religion impacts the operating environment. I know that was really big when I was in a civil affairs battalion. So we would have folks in different parts of the world, and oftentimes I would do a religious area analysis, which just demonstrates, who are the key players in the area, how does religion, could it particularly affect the mission? If it's a religious holiday that they don't know about, if there's a parade going on, there could be a number of things that could impact what they're doing in the area. And of course, you don't want to wrongly sort of offend or violate someone's holy days. If you can avoid that, it's certainly depending. You can definitely compromise the mission if you're not aware of these cultural things. And so these religious area analysis sort of get at that.
Yeah.
And I would say a lot of times too, they can set up these religious key leader engagements. In a lot of these countries, the religious leaders are, you know, the key leaders in those communities, and so the chaplain is a great person to be able to meet with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For sure.
All right. So what do you guys think would be some of the biggest challenges you guys face?
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, obvious ones are, you know, if you have a family, you're moving around a lot. You know, when I first joined the Navy, my oldest son was getting ready to graduate high school, you know, and so it was one of those deals where we're leaving Kentucky and I'm going to San Diego, California. And, you know, as a parent, it's one thing if your kid leaves to go off to college, it's another if you feel like you're leaving your kid. And so, yeah, the moving around, you know, the strain on families, that's a real thing.
Yeah. On the personal side, for sure. And you're somewhat disconnected from your local body, right? So oftentimes you can be out there alone, disconnected. Like, chaplains aren't leading with a plurality of elders like I do here in the local church. So I'm a reserve chaplain. Jeff's on active duty, but he when he's in the States, he can be a part of the church. But when you're out and about, man, you are disconnected from the body. So that presents a little bit of a challenge for sure. I think there's definitely challenges just in the ministry itself, because it's not like I think going into the chaplaincy, I had this maybe naive expectation that you were essentially a pastor in the military. There is pastoral duties and responsibilities that you carry out. Like, I do a service, I do a Bible study, you know, weekly at my command. And so that would be a very pastoral duty. But not everybody is a Christian. You know, I wear a cross on my uniform. You do. So you're still shepherding and caring for people who may not share the same faith as you. And so that can present some challenges. Some people, I think, wrongly think that if you're a chaplain, that you cannot be faithful, you know, to the gospel as a Christian. You know, I get that question a lot. I don't know if you do, but it's
I do too.
I get like, can you even pray in the name of Jesus? Or, you know, how do you address some of those concerns that people have?
Yeah,
it's a misconception.
It is a misconception. Yeah. So a big part of what we do as chaplains is trying to, you know, dispel some of those misconceptions. And that's one of them, you know? And so part of it is knowing the audience. Yep. If I'm saying a prayer at a command-wide event that everyone has to be at, then I want to be aware of my audience. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm leading a service and people are choosing to be there, yeah, I'll be very evangelistic and pray in Jesus' name all day long. That's not a problem at all. You know, but it's just having wisdom, knowing the audience, knowing, you know, what opportunities are there and trying to handle things the right way.
Yeah.
So the difference between a command function and a chaplain service or chaplaincy service.
Well, it has to do with if people are required to be there, because chaplains are officers, you know, and that tends to be, you tend to outrank a lot of the folks that may come to your, you know, gatherings or whatever. And so if you're in a formation or some sort of event where people are required to be there, they don't want chaplains to abuse their authority or rank to proselytize. And I think that's kind of, you can understand that, right? If you're required to be somewhere as a Christian and you have maybe a Jewish rabbi or an imam up there as the unit chaplain, you're going to feel a little different about times of prayer and things like that.
Right.
And so when Jeff says, consider your audience, when you have a volunteer gathering, right, if you're doing a Bible study and it's published, you know, this is a Christian Bible study, non-denominational, Protestant, whatever it is.
Right.
Then people who come there know what they're getting into, and they've volunteered to come there. And likewise, when people just approach you and ask you, you know, people ask me why I believe what I believe.
Right.
I'm wide open to share the gospel, to share how the Lord changed my life. And, you know, you just have to think about your environment. You think about the pluralism that is the military, and you work within that. I think there's wisdom to be able to employ intact. And it's really important because you matter. Like, chaplains matter. They're spiritual leaders. And I believe the Navy's done this too. I know the Army, when they rewrote their readiness manual, physical readiness, it was a field manual 7-22, like outlining physical readiness, they also included spiritual readiness in there. Where do you draw your values from? Like, these are things when soldiers are, I say soldiers, sailors as well, are going through times of adversity. It's who you are in your inner being, right? That right. really can determine your ability to overcome challenges in your life. And so the military has seen value in that. In the Army, they have a holistic approach. They call it holistic health and fitness. And it includes physical readiness, spiritual readiness, sleep readiness, nutritional
That's important.
Readiness.
Sleep readiness.
Mental readiness. Yeah.
Right.
These five domains, and spiritual is a big part of that.
Yeah. I don't know as much about the Army side of things. I know in the Navy, I was a Protestant lay leader because we don't have chaplains on submarines. So we had volunteers like myself that would take on that responsibility to fill in some of those gaps. We were not chaplains. We were not certified counselors. We were not, but we would do what we could for Sunday services for the crew, and in some ways do some of the things like protecting the crew's right, to their religious freedoms as well. Case in point, we had a Buddhist sailor that needed to go do some ceremony where he was going to actually fly to Japan for some Buddhist ceremony. And it was like only happens like once every 10 years. And the commander denied his leave. And I was like, look, if you deny his leave, this only happens once every 10 years. So, and as much as I went into the CEO's office and pushed for them to approve his leave, I still, even when I took him the leave sheet, I said, look, I got the CEO to sign off on this. Just understand that that doesn't mean that I believe the same thing you do. I think I was very clear about that because I think he thought that I was like affirming what he believed. I'm like, no, just this is not an affirmation.
But that's the provide part, right?
Right.
So perform things that are in accordance with your faith, or in the military, like DOD has endorsing agents that are your different denominations, and they, whoever has ordained you, endorses you to be in the military.
Right.
And you function as a representative of that group.
Right.
And so if you're a Christian chaplain, whatever Christian endorsing agency that you have, their statement of faith becomes really important for what you can and can't do.
Yeah. I think with the Wesleyan Church at the time, I was not allowed it was the same situation where they said, you're not allowed to administer communion and you're not allowed to baptize, I think is what they, and because I'd already been through a homiletics class, they're like, okay, we're okay with you delivering a service, but these are the things that you're not allowed to do for the denomination. So
I know you asked the questions, but I just want to ask you, since you brought it up, what was your experience like being a religious lay leader?
I think it was difficult because I hadn't been to seminary, right? So there was a lot of things theologically that I had to play a ton of catch up on immediately. On top of that, learning how to exegete scripture was something that I was just like, okay, I spent a lot of time with our pastor at the time and a lot of time with the squadron chaplain, like, okay, what do I, how do I do this? What does this mean? So I was asking tons of questions. So it was difficult from that perspective. Of course, I was on the, and I gotta be careful about what I talk about with this, but I was on the Minneapolis St. Paul when we had two sailors die topside. And that was extremely difficult. I mean, because I don't think I was prepared at all for that kind of trauma hitting a crew at once. And we actually pulled out of, of course, we did a transit straight from there to Rota, Spain. But for that, like, weekend-ish, we were underway. I mean, the crew was just devastated. Luckily, God blessed that crew with three different Protestant lay leaders. And I think we had two Catholic lay leaders at the time too. So we had a lot of people down there that were helping support, but it would have been really bad if I was by myself. I don't know if I would have been able to handle it by myself.
Yeah. When you mentioned challenges, my mind went there as well, of just like the circumstances in which you can find yourself in as a military chaplain, some of the most difficult in the world. Yeah. I would say probably the most challenging thing that I've had to do is deliver a next of kin notification.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like in the movies. I don't know if you've had a chance to do one yet.
I have.
And it's awful. Like it is, it's wonderful in a sense of like just understanding the sacred moment that you're there to help this person in the most difficult time. But in my experience, it was exactly like the movies. You're in your dress uniform. You have a senior enlisted person with you who shares the message, and the chaplain accompanies him in order to comfort the family or whoever's right. there. In this particular case, it was a mother, and her son had died at Fort Bragg. And as soon as she saw us, she just crumbled. Like, you know, like, so the family knows yeah. when they see two guys walking up in their dress uniforms in the military.
Yeah.
And so it was very intense. But yet I look back on that and I'm so thankful the Lord in his sovereignty and through his provision allowed me to be there in that moment for this woman.
And sometimes you are able to have ongoing relationships mm-hmm. with that family. I mean, I then went to Arlington National Cemetery and did the funeral there. And pretty powerful experience, moment, and just the follow-on care with the family was significant.
Yeah. There was another challenge in the same sort of vein is the amount of loss that occurs in the military.
Yeah.
And these aren't people that are dying of old age. I mean, the average military member is 18 to 24 years old. And so we had a soldier who had left our unit, but very shortly after had taken his life. And doing a ceremony for the people that knew him, a memorial ceremony for our people who were grieving that, but also because he had moved, his family was still in the area, of meeting with his family and inviting them into that. It's intense, and it's certainly not for the faint-hearted to do this kind of ministry, because it will make you very uncomfortable in so many ways.
I think one of the things that I'm discovering is, you know, I'm 8 years into it, and mm-hmm. Still
learning.
Still, you know, there's new challenges and new things are coming on, you know, every single time. And just trying to navigate those waters can be a challenge. I'll give an example. You know, so for us, we have 100% confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I talk to people, you know, I'll ask them, hey, what's one of the things that separates chaplains from some of the other providers? Right. Well, you know, the confidentiality. I'm like, okay, well, that's good. Now, are there any exceptions to that confidentiality? And like, well, yeah, I mean, there's a couple, you know, and so then you kind of go through it and help them understand, no, there's really no exceptions. You know, one time I had a person who was in my office and they were asking, hey, is everything that's said in here in confidence? I said, of course. And the person said, what if it's about murder? Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
So we go through these exercises at the chaplain school. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so it can be challenging, you know, trying to know how to stay true to, you know, what's expected of us, but also handle the situation where you're caring for that individual the way that it needs to happen.
Yeah. What would you say motivated you to become a chaplain? Like, why do you, I'm assuming you love it.
I mean, I am enjoying
parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely enjoy it. You know, there are challenges, but I enjoy it.
What in your heart is like, makes this worth it? Like this kind of ministry?
You know, I think for me, I worked in the local church for, you know, almost a decade. Mm. And, you know, I enjoyed the local church, but just since that God was opening up some other doors, I started to volunteer at a local prison, met the chaplain there. And I was like, oh man, chaplains are doing some pretty cool stuff, you know? And so once I got into it, I had no clue military wise what I was doing, you know? So very much a big learning mm-hmm. curve, but I started to see, man, ministry is ministry, whether it's in a local church or with the military, but there are some unique components to it, right? Yeah. And so one of the things I really appreciate is just the authenticity and just how open and honest people are.
Yeah, you know? Without a doubt. Yeah.
You know, I really find that, you know, something that is appealing, you know, because it just makes it easier to work with them and really get to the heart of the issue versus just doing a certain dance, you know, and pretending like everything's good when it's not.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot of reasons I pursued the chaplaincy. A lot of it is because I just feel indebted to the military because the Lord saved me in basic training as an enlisted soldier.
Yeah.
And my early years, my formative Christian years were on active duty in Iraq and in Germany. And the only pastor that I had was my chaplain, you know, and so that was, there was a particular chaplain who was a missionary in Germany full-time, was a reserve chaplain. He got activated because all the chaplains were going to Iraq and Afghanistan at the time. He discipled me. He took me aside and read through the New Testament with me. And, along with him and some others, really encouraged me to cultivate a teaching gift that they perceived in me. And I just was really encouraged to pursue ministry by him and some others, high-ranking, you know, folks in the military who saw something. And it was just, yeah, it was encouraging. But I've always felt indebted to the military because that was at such a special time in my life. And so I've always said, as long as I can continue to serve in a way that doesn't compromise what the Lord's doing in the local church, that I'm going to stick with it on the reserve side. Yeah. And I just have, I'm in an incredible place now. And I do want to talk about CPE and what you're doing right now. But I'm in a unit right now that exists. It's not a war fighting unit. It exists to help our country in probably what would be its most desperate time of need. I'm in the only standing force in the Department of Defense on the federal Title 10 side, not National Guard, that exists to respond to a major attack on the U.S., yeah. And in that case, we end up with like 6,000 soldiers to do search and rescue, life-saving operations, and I would oversee all of the ministry that's taking place to the Title 10 personnel during that.
Right.
And it's just incredible to think like that would be America's darkest day. Yeah. And you think of 9/11 and how that impact. We had an episode about that not long ago.
Yes, we did.
To be ministering to those that are sort of helping in all of that, and not only that, but they're seeing the suffering. They're seeing, you know, these.
Well, you got
happen.
Deployed during COVID.
I did. Yeah, yeah. So in New York, when they were doing, I mean, I did a lot of things during COVID. I got mobilized for 16 months there, and part of that was working in a hospital where we did lose patients,
yeah,
and ministering to the doctors and nurses there, caring for them. Another part of what we do is traumatic event management. So if there's a big mass casualty event that occurs, chaplains, the Army requires it during our schooling. I don't know if you guys do, but we go through, you know, traumatic event management training where we can lead debriefings on major stress events like a lot of casualties. And so that was one of the things that I did. And, you know, when I was down in Texas, is if we lost a patient, I would kind of meet with the team that was on staff there. It was just kind of a, you know, they're doctors and nurses. It's not new to them.
Right.
But just given the cultural moment of like how wacky everything was during 2020, 2021, yeah, we were being extra absolutely. Cautious to care for people. And yeah, so I work in DISCA, which is Defense Supportive Civil Operations. So whenever there's something going on in a state, wildfire, hurricane, natural disaster, attack, if there's something in which the federal or the local response, the state response, as led by the governor, calls in federal help, we're one of the units that would okay. do that. Yeah, yeah. But you're in CPE, which is clinical pastoral education.
Right.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so it's I'm part of a year-long residency program. So advanced education through the Navy. And so for me, I'm doing 6 months at the hospital here and then 6 months at the VA. And so it is really just training people, you know, much like you're talking about with the staff, you know, I'm working with the ICU ward currently. And so, you know, going to see patients, going to check on the staff, you know, you respond if there's, you know, certain traumas that are taking place or rushing people into the ER, you know, could be anything from a gunshot wound to, you know, you name it. And so the chaplain shows up and, you know, whether caring for family members and friends or staff. But yeah, it's really a program helping chaplains to develop their skills, hone their skills, so that after I finish this year, I'll do a 3-year payback tour at a naval hospital and be the chaplain there.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
So the Army has CPE as well. You can be a hospital chaplain. We also have what they call family life chaplains. I don't know if you guys do that, but it's they'll essentially pay for you to get another master's degree, and it's in family life counseling and therapy. And so you would work in a center on a post in which they do a lot of marriage and family counseling. Yeah.
The Army's got a really good location for a hospital too. Hawaii, Tripler Army Medical Facility. That's awesome. Yeah. The big pink building on the hill.
Yeah. I don't know. For us, there's one of the spots I think that was open was in Naples, Italy. So not bad either.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time at Naples. That's okay. Actually where I came to Christ. I was there for an eye surgery, and I had to do 6 months of limited duty while I was there, which I was at Capo d'Aquino and Agnano. Was of course where the hospital is. So
nice.
Yeah.
I do want to comment on the transparency thing. Just I lost it in the midst of our conversation, but you talking about the authenticity of the military. That is absolutely one of the things I love about military ministry. Is it doesn't matter if someone just met you, they will share their entire life story with you, and it's beautiful. You know, the military is so diverse, in so many ways, racially, economically. Like even just the diverse backgrounds that people have and educational backgrounds that people have. I've met some of the most brilliant people, high level strategic thinkers in the military. And then I've met, you know, the 18-year-old that just trying to stay out the streets, you know, that with court, they were going to go to jail or they were going to join the military. And it's so refreshing, like how authentic and transparent people can be with the chaplain. I love it because I get the best of both worlds, I think, as a local pastor and as a reserve chaplain, because it really keeps me sharp. One of the things that pastors of local churches can do if they're not careful is be so insulated that they're only, you know, ministering to and around Christians all of the time, people that are of like mind. Being a chaplain keeps me sharp. Because I have to constantly engage with people who may have completely different worldviews, you know, and so it is it's a beautiful thing. It's a challenge, and I love it because it definitely keeps you sharp.
Well, I mean, the first place I was at was the Marine Corps Recruiting Depot in San Diego.
They put you with the Marines right away?
Oh, yeah, they were sick. And so, I mean, you're dealing with 17, 18-year-olds, a lot of times coming from very rough backgrounds. And so when they are getting ready to be assigned to their company that they're going to be with for, you know, the next 12, 13 weeks, one of the things that we do with them is we explain, hey, there's religious opportunities for you while you're here at recruit training. And so there was a lot of different types of services available to them. And the thing that struck me is just how little to no spiritual faith background these kids had coming in.
So many.
Right? You know, because you're... You know, whether it's a Catholic, Jewish, Christian, I mean, I had recruits who become, you know, we're listing off all these different kinds of services, and they're like, hey, are all these pretty much teaching the same thing? I go, no. No, they're not. Yeah. But, I mean, they just don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then at the same time, for many of them, they're starting to think about their own mortality, maybe for the first time. Yeah. And so they, even though they didn't grow up with this faith background, they're interested in things of faith.
Well, that's how I came to faith. When I said I came to faith at basic training, I was at the reception hall in that week leading up to going to getting assigned to my unit.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody goes to some service
because
really they're trying to get away from the drill sergeant.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, but the Lord had been working on me for months prior to that. Like I couldn't wait to like go and. So I went hungry, and a faithful volunteer, wasn't even a chaplain, it was a volunteer from a local church, came and preached the gospel, and man, the Lord saved me and completely transformed me right at the front end of this. And then the next 3 years, you know, I'm overseas, completely being remade in the image of God, and truly just born again. Like, it set a trajectory for my time on active duty that benefited me greatly, because a lot of people, you know, the military, I always tell young men, like, it can be great for you or it can be awful for you. Like, it can be one of the discipline and structure that you need in life to thrive, or you can completely rebel and just kind of fall apart and get in all kinds of legal trouble and make, you know, shipwreck of your life and get off to a really bad start in your adulthood.
That's true.
And I've seen it both, right? Yeah, you see it both. But for me, it was a wonderful choice to enlist initially.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you guys say are some of the biggest blessings that you've seen or had on you while you were in the chaplaincy?
I'll let you take this one.
Oh, man. For me, it really is. It sounds kind of mushy, but just serving those who serve. Like, I feel very thankful to live in this country. And I don't mean that in some, like, pseudo, like, lip service. Like, I'm grateful to be an American. And I'm just enamored by people that are less than 1% of the population serves in the military, because it's an all-volunteer force.
Right.
And I know people do for different reasons and different circumstances, but there's still something. When you raise your right hand and you take an oath to defend the Constitution and you know, this land from all enemies, foreign and domestic, you know that you're putting your life potentially on the line. And people that are willing to do that, to self-sacrifice in those ways.
Right.
I love being there for them and serving them. It's like you're serving those who serve. For me, that's just the biggest blessing. And I've got to travel all over the world in the military. I think I went to 15 countries in 3 years. Just being in Europe, I got stationed in Germany, and I wasn't a chaplain at the time, but just being in the military itself is a blessing. And the ministry, like we've talked about, is so diverse. You can have such a wide range of experiences. I really think it has enhanced, particularly here, being in Virginia Beach, being the pastor of a local church now as a reserve chaplain. It's enhanced our ministry so much. Yeah. Half of our membership are military folks, you know, and so it automatically lends a little bit of credibility to me and my ministry when you know, soldiers and sailors come to the church and, like, oh, that's a chaplain. I get that. You know, it's like I can speak their language a little bit.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, similar to that is, you know, Scripture talks about going into all the world, right, and preaching the gospel, and the opportunities that you have to do that are just so numerous. And, you know, whether that's different parts of the U.S. or, you know, one of the things I did took me to Micronesia and Marshall Islands, and, you know, the opportunity to preach at, you know, their Sunday morning service or whatever it might be. You know, it's just like when I was in the local church, again, love the local church, but never had some of these opportunities. And so there's definitely some challenges, but then you look back and you see some of the opportunities that God has given through this format. It's truly is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that for me, when I was stationed in Italy, the chaplain service was pretty much all we had that was English speaking or that wasn't Catholic, you know, in the local area. So, it was a huge blessing for those who are followers of Jesus Christ to have that there in that country, available, because I think sometimes we forget, and that does become your church family while you're in a place, when you're overseas like that in the military.
I feel like it's all the more critical when you're overseas or deployed, like in Iraq. When I was there, I was at everything the chaplain did. If the chapel had something going on, I mean, I was a new Christian at the time.
Yeah,
I couldn't wait to go to chapel. It's like, it's that little bit of a break from the craziness of life in a war zone.
But even here in the U.S., I mean, what we've experienced is our family has been blessed. We've you know, lived on base, you know, base housing, and the relationships with our kids, you know, the relationships that my wife has been able to build, you know, we homeschool. And so there's just kind of this built in community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just trying to form some of these intentional relationships has been a great thing.
Yeah. Shout out to Miranda, by the way. His wife is Miranda. They're fairly new to Water's Edge. They just went through all the membership classes or close to being done. But you guys, I came out on a Tuesday and Miranda's out here and she's got Van, their freshman, out here serving in our food pantry.
That's awesome.
I got the Heroes 5K shirt on. We just had to raise money for the food pantry. But yeah, it is neat. And it does. It gives you such a wide range of experience. And it certainly has its challenges. It's not for everybody. By no means is it for everybody. But it is a quality ministry that I'm thankful for. And man, we need good, godly men and women in the military.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, of course, we've discussed that a little bit previously in previous episodes, but when you take godly people out of that, what's left, you know, so there's always that to think about.
Amen.
All right, gentlemen. Do you guys have anything else you would like to add to the conversation?
My heart's all clear, brother.
Your heart's all clear.
Maybe. And the creamer was fantastic.
Jeff, man, I'm pumped that you were able to join us. This is cool.
It's been good. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Army will beat Navy this year in football.
Sure. It's okay. I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I'm good.
You're good either way.
See, that's what my little out is. If the Navy doesn't do good.
Ohio State already beat Notre Dame, though. Go Bucks.
It was close.
Yep.
It was a close game. It was a close game.
About as close as you can get.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us. And Steve, as always, you got to put up with me for another episode.
Amen.
All right. And all you listeners out there, if you have not done so yet, make sure you like, subscribe, and click that bell so you know when we put out new episodes. If you are listening to this on Apple Podcast, make sure you leave us a review. We do want to know how we're doing. And leave us 5 stars. And no, I do not have a fear of the 1 star, Steve. All right, everybody. We love you and God bless.
Peace out.